now listening to the Seventh Rounders.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of the Seventh Rounders. The four amigos are here tonight. It's been a while. It's our off season, but we got the four boys together tonight. We've got the 2024 PGA Championship. We've got the Preakness. We have NBA and NHL playoffs. We have baseball. I think that's about it for right now, but we've got a good hefty chunk of sports to talk about. But let's start with the PGA Championship. At Valhalla.
Well, Valhalla. Real quick, Chad. Real quick. Yeah. Valhalla. Would you better describe us as a foursome on the golf course or just the four horsemen, dude, running around the Preakness? What's the name of this episode going to be? This is the opportunity right here. Four horsemen or just a good, clean foursome?
Foursome.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. All right. Yeah. All right. We can work with it. And that'll take us into the PGA, dude.
Yeah. Who's harder than Rory McIlroy? Country Club in Kentucky. Great field. We've got, you know, arguably the three favorites between Scotty, Rory, and Brooks, all coming off of wins in the most recent tournaments that they have played in respectively. Koepka, the defending PGA champ. He won at Oak Hill, right? Yeah, at Oak Hill. The Block Party is back. Michael Block here again. And then, you know, Tiger playing, Phil playing, John Daly in the field. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, that's an easy one. Never mind. I was going to ask a question. Daly's not making the cut, though. I don't think there's any chance. But I'm excited that he's out there. I love seeing him out there. You know, the Thursday, Friday highlights, getting a couple good pure Daly swings. It's good for the soul. It's good for the sport.
Yeah. John Daly's 7-iron from, like, 165, his one birdie on the round. Like, I'm ready for it.
John could probably smack the ball still, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Really get into it.
Yeah.
Still gets a really nice rotation. He can pound the rock, but I don't think he's going to win. It's going to take a lot for Mr. Daly here. I think he is. He's tied for the worst odds, plus 100,000. Just Vegas not giving John much of a chance, but we won't spend too much time on the non-contenders. Chad, I mean, it's a great top three. You hit on him already. Any leans early on amongst the four of us for those top three of who might be able to get it done? And then we can dive deeper from there.
I lean Koepka.
Wow.
Rory, until I see it in a major, I mean, listen, I know he's won majors, but I mean, it's been 7-8 plus years. Like
his last major win was at this golf course.
Okay. And that would have been 14.
2014.
Yeah. It's been 10 years.
I would definitely have Rory last among those three. I feel like he has one of the three best odds in every major and doesn't have anything to show for recently. Scotty is hard to bet against, but I'm going to talk myself into believing he's been way too preoccupied with a kid, so hasn't been practicing. That leaves Brooks. So I lean Brooks to the big three right now.
I'll take John Rahm over all three of them.
Ugh.
He's due.
I don't think he's due for anything. Until Scotty.
How quickly we forget how dominant John Rahm was just a mere 6 months ago.
Has he played a good round this year? Honestly. Even on
Live. He had a bad round at the Masters. He's been playing over in the Live. Been playing all right. Been playing well. You just haven't been watching him play.
I thought he hadn't been doing well at LIV. I could be wrong in that. I don't watch LIV too closely. I mean, until I see Scotty just like shit the bed in one of these tournaments, like he's by far the best player in the world right now. So I'm just gonna assume that he's gonna go out there and be in contention on Sunday, without a doubt.
John Rahm has gone tie 10th, tie 3rd, tie 4th, tie 8, tie 3 in LIV. Still playing against good players. He's not taking it that serious. He had a bad round at the Masters. All I'm saying is for him to be priced at the same range as Brooks Koepka, I think is outrageous.
I see the same number for those two.
I know. Plus I just 1600. Said be priced at the same number as Brooks Koepka, I think is outrageous.
But why though? You know, what's wrong with Brooks being the same? Brooks is he's money in these events.
Brooks has won 2 or 3 PGAs, he's going to get that.
Yeah, he's won 3.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, I mean, Rahm over the last 3 years has definitely been a better golfer than Brooks, but in this spot, I absolutely hammer Brooks. I just 3 PGAs. He shows up in majors for the most part.
Brooks has a confidence to him that seems to really kind of shine in big tournaments. You know, like there's some kind of swagger demeanor there that just plays in the big tournaments.
Just shows up. I'm on Rory though of the top three. I think I fade Rory every big event, every major. I've never taken Rory pre-tournament, but I think he keeps it rolling. I really do. I really do. I think he's dialed the fuck in right now. Coming up, just filed a divorce. Rory's laser focused on golf.
Hot seat. Great Rochester. Rochester on the hot seat.
Yeah. Rochester's certainly on the hot seat.
Why is that?
His wife is now ex-wife.
Oh, that's right. I heard that. Okay.
So that happened, but I think he's just laser. He looks so good at Quail Hollow. I think that's a great setup for him if he can keep that same game going. Just took away everything from Xander in the field on Sunday, especially in the middle of the round. Some of the toughest holes at Quail Hollow. It was good to see him in person out there. But I think he gets it done. I think he ends the drought. I think he wins this thing. Goes back to back at Valhalla, hosting the PGA 10 years apart.
That'd be impressive. Before we get into some like more mid range and long shots, and we pick our three. John, I'm curious. We're getting towards the end of the season. Who are you taking for one and done this week? Who's on the radar?
I took Rory, actually. I hadn't used him yet. He was still in the bank, and I think we got to keep the hot hand going. I went chalky. I mean, if he's not the chalkiest play because Scotty technically is. I hate going chalky, but this is the time for it. I went chalk with the Masters when Scotty got that right. Hope to go 2 for 2 here.
Yeah, I was just listening to a couple pods earlier, and a lot of people are saying this is where a lot of the LIV guys are getting used up this week, but
I'm zagging on that again. I a bunch of them got used at Masters. I think Brooks is going to be the most used player this week, and I'll go against the grain there. Not to say Rory probably won't get used quite a bit too, but I think he's been taking a lot, to be honest, already.
How are we sitting right now? We in the money right now?
We're hanging around. We're not in the money. I think it's like 27 people, maybe. I'm 14th. I'm battling. I do have one missed week on my ledger. It was like I think it was the Zurich, maybe. I don't know. It was the least purse event. So I actually got very lucky with the fact that I missed that one if I had to miss any.
All right, we're battling. Picks, a couple of guys down the board a little bit that I've talked myself into. He's been fucking stinky, but I think Jordan Spieth is going to have a good week here. Looking to complete the Grand Slam, 70-1. I'll take a flyer on Jordan Spieth. And then Jason Day at 75-1. I feel like I talk myself into Jason Day almost every tournament, but I like him here. Those are a couple guys that were a bit down the board for me. I don't know if you guys have any long shots or names you want to throw out there before we go around the horn.
perfect.
Yeah. I like, real quick from each end, I like Zalatoris 75-1. Pretty far down that board. I don't know if you consider him mid range or where he'd fall.
He's actually 80-1 on FanDuel.
Yeah, okay, 80-1. He just seems to, I mean, I think he just finished, he was right around the top 10 in the Masters, if not top 10. Feels like the guy just, when he's playing in big tournaments, like, is kind of always hovering around. So I don't know if he's got enough to get it done here, but I just feel like Will Zalatoris is a damn good golfer who's always gotten in the mix.
I assume that means his back's completely good now, right? He had surgery, last year?
He's like, yeah.
He's been playing for a few months now.
Yeah.
Started this season back in January. Since then, he's been back.
Top 10. Yeah, he was top 10 at the Masters. Finished in the top 10 seven times across his 10 major appearances as a professional. So
I like that. That's an analytical play from Cardillo.
Someone I got my eye on there. A little bit of a sleeper down the board.
I'm going to go with a vibes play for one of my long shots. I like Jake Knapp in the top 20 at plus 500. Jake Knapp, if you haven't watched this dude swing, he has the best male swing in the world right now. I've officially...
Tempo.
Oh, it's spectacular. I haven't used the S word in a long time, but Jake Knapp has a spectacular golf swing. His first PGA Tour... or PGA Championship, I should say. I think he can mess around and finish in the top 20. So plus 500 there, I like that. And then another plus or top 20 guy at plus 465, someone who I thought was in the Masters, and I picked him, and wasn't even in the field, Tom Hoagie. Tom Hoagie is just a rock solid golfer. He has no chance of winning the tournament, but he's just going to hang around. I love myself some Tom Hoagie. I know it was embarrassing back last month, but we wiped that from the memory bank. So give me Tom Hoagie and Jake Knapp at plus or top 20 to
finish. It is such a missed opportunity for the podcast that Tom Hoagie didn't go in the Masters graphic. I mean, he should have been. Messier should have had to own that one publicly. Like, just a missed opportunity. And I'm not going to point fingers at the graphics guy, but missed opportunity.
The graphics team.
Messier should be doing push-ups.
Our massive graphics team over here.
Yeah. Well-oiled machine, dude. Messier should be doing push-ups on camera for that one. You remember how they used to send the cheerleaders to the end zone to do push-ups after touchdowns?
Yes, kind of crazy. Every point scored.
Doesn't Oregon still do that, I think? Or their duck does it?
A lot of mascots do it.
Play those FCS teams, put up like 100. Messier is doing push-ups on camera now. Form's looking questionable from this angle. Can't really tell, but...
He's running out of gas.
No, that head is bobbing a lot. He's really not getting a lot of bend in those elbows.
They didn't do a lot of push-ups in swimming or whatever he did growing up.
Fuck you.
I have three sleepers that I'm eyeing right here. Just trying to play some hot hands and guys I feel like probably aren't being looked at. I think I'm going to take each top 20 bet and maybe sprinkle just a couple of bucks on outright winner because their odds are so nice. First one, Byung-Hun An. He's been playing good golf. He's plus 155, top 20. He's plus 5,500 to win the event. Probably won't, but he's playing good golf. He was first in strokes gained on the greens at Quail Hollow last week with a new flat iron putter, which is different from what he had before. 91st on tour coming into the week, but first at Quail. Ride the hot hand here with Byung-Hun. Next one, more popular pick. Great outfits. The Malibu golf legend himself, Jason Day. He's plus 160, top 20. One at Hazeltine. He's a seasoned veteran. He's rounding back into form, it looks like. Again, his fits have been great.
Top five finished last weekend too, right?
Yep, he's been all over it recently. And plus 160, top 20 for Mr. Day. I like that a lot. And then the last one, top 20, I really like Sepp Straka. He's been in great form for months now. He's just a name that every time I look at the leaderboard, Mr. Straka's name's in there. He's plus 200, top 20. That feels like the steal of the week. Sepp is, I was looking at it actually because this is a golf course you really need to be good off the tee. And Sepp Straka, while he doesn't hit long, he's like 150th in distance. He is top 40 in strokes gained off the tee because he is one of the most accurate drivers, if not the most accurate driver on tour week in, week out. So I think Sepp Straka is going to be a good play to be a safe one in the top 20, maybe not win it, but I think he'll be around again.
I'll toss out one more too. Sorry, last thing for me, Connor. One more. Cam Young, 50-1. Everything I've heard about Valhalla is you got to be able to drive the ball, drive the piss out of the ball. Cam Young does that. Also a top 10 finish at the Masters. Yeah, he hits nukes. Also a top 10 finish at the Masters this year. Another guy who seems to kind of be in the mix on majors. Been playing pretty good golf this season. 50-1. I kind of like Cam Young as someone who might be in the mix come Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, Cam's going great. Off that, I was going to mention that from what I've heard, the course is a long course, and I heard it's also supposed to be fairly wet this week. At least that's what it's looking like. That lend itself? Is Bryson going to be there again this week?
He's stay tuned on Bryson.
Huh?
Stay tuned on Bryson. It could be one of the picks here.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough. All right, we'll do our picks. We'll go around the horn. Per usual, top guy has to be inside the top 10 odds. Second guy, 10 or longer. And then long shot has to be, we will say for a long shot, let's do
50.
We'll do 50 to 1 or longer for that one.
Are Scotty, Rory, and Brooks in play here?
Oh yeah. Oh god.
Okay.
If I know we took Scotty out from the Masters, but from everything I've heard and read, it sounds like this should be a more even field versus Scotty. So we'll leave him in. We will start with.
Wait, hold up. Who finished first at the Masters of the group? Did we ever determine that even?
It wasn't you. I know that for a fact. You guys do some quick research here.
It's earnings, isn't it?
Reverse order. Earnings.
I'm gonna.
All right, who's first?
That myself or Chad won. I think Chad won. He had Neiman, Zal, Torres, and Woods. I had McIlroy, Fitzpatrick, and English. John had Spieth, Lowry, and Dave had Schauffele, Clark, and Taylor. Taylor was horrible that
Wyndham
week.
Missed the cut, too. Yeah, Schauffele was the only guy.
Yeah, Dave was dead last. Dave couldn't have done much worse out there.
I mean, did anyone else have two guys miss the cut?
Chad might have won, but I'm giving myself the first pick because he did have an ineligible pick. So you've been bumped down to – you're actually picking last.
I'll pick last.
Yeah, you're picking last.
Yeah.
John will go second. Dave will go third. For my first pick, I will take John Rahm as my stud.
Johnny, I guess.
All right. I want Rory.
Rory's off the board.
I'll take Brooks. Give me Brooks. Give me Brooks. I want to root for Brooks too. I'll be rooting for him regardless.
Chad, you're going to get
He's the king you're of the he's the king of the PGA Championship.
I got penalized sent to the back, and I get the best player.
I was kind of
the best player sent to the back. That's just disrespectful.
Yeah, I'll take Scotty. I don't think anything needs to be said. No. And I am up again, and I am gonna go with. That'd be funny if I took Joaquin Neiman. I'm not going to do that. I am going to take Willie Z. Dave hit on him earlier. He's outside the top 10. He's played well coming back from injury, and you know he's been great in majors. So give me Willie Z.
Yeah, the cutoff is Neiman. He's the 10th. And
Shit! So I can't use Bryson, can I?
No.
Wow. Okay. I thought about using Bryson with the stud pick then. For some reason, I thought he was outside the top 10. All right, I'll just go ahead and I'll lock in Cam Young. Said I liked him. He's 50-1. Think
got to stick with it.
Yeah, I think he's in play this weekend.
It's only right. I'm gonna go with my boy Byung Hun Ahn. He's my next guy. By the way, DraftKings much better odds on the three. Byung Hun is +190. Jason Day +210, and Sepp is +280 over on DraftKings. Got you.
Hashtag GK partner.
There you go, for top 20.
Yep.
That's where you want to be.
All right. I got two in a row. My mid-tier. I'll take Jordan Spieth as my mid-tier, even though he's down a little bit. And for my sleeper, I'll take Corey Connors at 110-1.
Okay. That was back to me. Yeah, I'm gonna go Sepp Straka here. He's 110-1. He's plus
110-1. Yeah,
I'm going Sepp Straka. I mean, I guess I foreshadowed with the guys that I like to finish top 20, but I got to stick with them. And apologies to Jason Day, you got squeezed, but it's all right. You still look good. You still look great out
there. You know? First one off the bench, Jason Day.
First one off the bench.
I mean, it's kind of screwed up that Chad took Willie Z, my 75-1 long shot, who I teed it up for him earlier. That would have been the pick. I'll go ahead and pivot to give me Denny McCarthy. +13,000. Why not?
Okay. I like Alex Noren at 150-1 too, a little bit.
He's also looking at Nikolai Højgaard.
Noren's a good pick.
Fun name.
So last pick to me. I think it's only right to wrap up this punishment. I don't feel this is a punishment. You guys might. But give me Tom Hoge as my third pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you have it. Not as hype as the Masters, but major weekends are always fun. Hopefully we don't get any fucking rain delays again. Those are the worst. So fingers crossed we don't. And yeah, that's our PGA talk. Rory, good luck with the divorce. We'll see if he comes out on fire here. I might sprinkle on him first round leader. He might just have his hair on fire right out the gate. We'll see.
I think he will.
You know, just one last thing for me here. Guy I'm excited to watch, Ludvig Åberg. I mean, yeah. That guy.
New York rise for Ludvig.
Yeah.
He's just awesome. He might be my favorite player to watch in the tour right now. I mean, him watching him at the Masters was an absolute treat. The guy just, I mean, he's incredible, Chad. I don't know how you view his swing, but as far as what my eyes see, very aesthetically pleasing swing. And the thing I love most about watching him too, he just walks up to the ball and hits it. There is not a lot of, like, you know, some guys take forever. Ludvig just walks up there and smacks the ball. I just love it. I think he's going to be a problem here.
And he's young.
Yeah, he's like 23 or 24, I think. College teammates with Hovland, I believe.
Wow.
Where'd they go to
that's
school?
That's a duo right there.
The Pokes, Oklahoma State, I believe.
I can't confirm Hovland was at Oklahoma State.
I'm sorry, I lied. Åberg went to Texas Tech.
they're
a bold-faced lie.
They're all pistols, Cowboys.
Yeah, right? It's just it's a Big 12. They all kind of blend together at this point.
Oh, sorry. All right, moving over to the NBA playoffs real quick. Celtics currently lead the Cavs by 6 at half. They're up 3-1. Cavs are playing with nobodies. Even if they win tonight, that series is over.
Yeah.
Thunder Mavs later tonight, that series tied 2-2. Thunder squeak out a miracle to keep the series alive. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with a marquee performance last game, going for 34 on just straight mid-range. As a Thunder fan, I like the Thunder's chances. I think they stole a game they shouldn't have, but the Mavs have objectively been the better team so far this series. So we'll see how it goes tonight. Luka's definitely banged up, but yeah. Kyrie's been playing great. PJ Washington's been playing out of his mind.
So Kyrie has not been playing great. He's finished in single digits, I think, in two games so far this series.
He's putting up like double digit assists.
Luka definitely looks banged up. He doesn't look right to me. I think the Thunder got the edge here. I mean, they absolutely stole game four, like you said. The Mavericks were, I think, 12 for 23 or something from the free throw line, including Luka missed a big one with like 10 seconds left to tie the game. Now the Thunder get two of the next three at home. If it goes to seven, I kind of feel like they got the edge. The only thing holding me back with being really kind of all in on them is they're just so young. You know, are the Brights going to get too light? Like, we've seen Jalen Williams kind of struggle a little bit here in the series. That's like the only thing, but I think they got the leg up right here. I don't know if the Mavs got enough juice.
I think we can all agree that regardless, it's looking like winner of Nuggets, T-Wolves should be a sizable favorite in that Western Conference series. But Thunder, they're young. They should be able to bounce back, play good defense. Their lack of bigs going to kill them. I mean, if they play either the Wolves or the Nuggets, I don't think they're going to match up very well up front. But two Nuggets, Timberwolves. Nuggets down 0-2 are now up 3-2. Nikola Jokic showing why he is by far the best player in the world right now. 40 points, 13 assists last night.
Dude moves so different.
It is unbelievable. When he wants to score or play make, it is almost automatic. And just enjoy watching him play because he is truly one of the all-time greats already.
He moves so different. He
absolutely dominated last night. Especially like the third quarter. Like, it was a game at halftime and Nuggets basically put him away in the third quarter because Jokic just was absolutely taken, four-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert, just to school, man. Like, Rudy had no answer. Jokic was getting whatever the hell he wanted. Whole offense is running through him. Murray still doesn't look that healthy and doesn't even matter. Jokic is by far the best player in the world right now.
I saw he accounted. He either scored or contributed to 36 of their 38 points in the third quarter.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's the best in the world. I think I want to shout out Aaron Gordon too. Just annually underrated, phenomenal defender, amazing playoff player. Just a perfect complement to Jokic in that short and that dunker spot. He's a beast.
His career was just like completely revitalized. Yeah, revived after getting traded to Denver, signing with Denver, wherever it was. Yeah, I mean, just plays his role so well, and he's so perfect next to Jokic in that dunker spot and what he can do defensively. Basically, he can guard 1 through 5. Like, he's amazing.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards still been great. I honestly don't know what his final stat line last night
Not
was.
Not good. Kind of laid an egg last night.
But Karl Anthony Towns has been bad since game two. And he keeps talking like he's, you know, one of the great players in the league. He's got to show it. He's not. Naz Reid hasn't really shown up lately. Feels to me like that series might be over. I don't know. It's hard to – it feels like the Nuggets took their best punch, and we still see that the Nuggets' best punch is better than anyone else's best punch. So I like the Nuggets' advance there. Knicks Pacers, we saw last night why Madison Square Garden is the Mecca. They go to Indiana. They look like they can't walk around, and then they come back to the Garden last night, and they have just unlimited juice. So I personally think Pacers get game six, and the Knicks close it out in seven at home. But that's been a fairly entertaining series. I love Jalen Brunson.
Another hot or cold guy. Him. I mean – Halliburton, what do you have? 13-2-5.
He took 9 shots last night. What was he doing?
He takes like 25 one game and then 9 the next. I don't understand him. He just might not have that dog in him, Chad.
I don't know if he's that guy. Okay. I mean, he's a good player, really good player, but yeah. I mean, that was just weird last night. It was like he was disinterested at times. And when the game was really slipping away in like the third quarter. Just nothing from him. So that I thought that was really, really weird. Especially when you consider just how banged up his Knicks team is. Like, no, Jalen Brunson's playing on a bad foot, limping around half the time. OG hasn't even played games 3 and 4 or 5. Maybe he played game 3, but he's missed the last 2 games. Credit to the Knicks, man. It's really been Brunson. I mean, incredible performance. He's really elevated himself to another level. And like DiVincenzo's had his moments, even though he wasn't great last night. Josh Hart is just all hustle, all hard team. Like, they're just a tough ass team.
Yeah, I hate to say it. As much as we were talking about parity in the playoffs, it does feel like it's just going to be Nuggets Celtics.
I'm not so sure out of the West. I'm not so sure out of the West, but the Celtics have a fucking cakewalk. I mean, if they don't get there, yeah, that would just be actually embarrassing for them. I mean, didn't have to deal with Jimmy Butler in round one. Donovan Mitchell's now missed the last 2 games in this Cleveland series, and they're going to get just a banged up, bruised, battered Knicks team in the conference finals, most likely, or Indiana, who really has no business playing there.
Yep.
I really would love to see the Celtics Mavericks in the NBA Finals personally. That was my prediction, Chad, when we ripped this thing. Have a future on each. Really would love to see the Mavericks. That, I mean, take care of the Thunder. Who knows?
I just hope if the Mavs get there that Luke is full strength, which I assume he would have to be for them to get there. But
oh, for sure.
It would be fun to see him in a finals, him versus Tatum. I think for me, as long as it's not the – actually, there's not really a team in the West that I would be mad about seeing in the finals. They're all pretty exciting.
I think they're all fun in their own ways. Yeah, and last thing for me, I mean, Mavericks Thunder tonight, game 5. I texted the group. Like, game 5s in a 2-2 series are – feel like a game 7. Like, obviously a huge turning point in any series, so – really looking forward to that one tonight. We got a reasonable start time on the East Coast, 9:30. I can stay up for that one. That should be a fun one. That has been a really good series. I mean, that game 3 was pretty wild that the Thunder stole that. So, or I'm sorry, game 4. So I'm excited for tonight.
Over to the NHL, Avs and Stars going on tonight. I believe that is a 3-1 series right now. In the Stars' favor. Yep. Stars up 3-1. A bit shocking. What's his name? Is it Ratanen? No, that one guy for the Avs just got suspended.
Oh, like suspended. Lustenacken or something like that.
How many? Someone's got to pronounce this guy's name right. Dave, give it a rip.
Valerie Nishushkin. Nishushkin.
Nishushkin. Nishushkin.
I put myself on mute when we went to NHL because I have literally nothing to add.
He was suspended for 6 months for violation of the NHL's program, which sounds like he's dealing with some sort of substance abuse.
Yeah, listen, it's known out there. This guy's doing cocaine 2 years in a row before the playoffs, just rip and blow. And that is his problem. That seems like that is actually a problem across multiple NHL superstars. I mean, he's tied for the lead in playoff goals this postseason, and that's just terrible timing for him and the Avalanche. I remember Kuznetsov when he was on the Capitals, they had that video come out too. So tough to see, but the Avalanche were not even really favored to beat the Jets in that opening series. I think they might've been slightly favored. And then, I mean, Dallas, I think was number one in the West. So the Avalanche just do what they do in the playoffs. I compared them to the Chiefs, earlier in the postseason. I kind of like that comparison still.
Yeah, I mean, if they can win tonight, they still have the star power to make it interesting, I think. The other Western series is Oilers-Canucks, which I've caught a decent amount of. That's been great. Series tied 2-2. Canucks still without Thatcher Demko, their starting goalie. I personally
a want cheap to shot on McDavid after that last game. That was a bullshit hit.
That's hockey for you, buddy. I personally want the Oilers to go to the finals because I just think it'd be good for the NHL to have McDavid get a shot at it. Mm-hmm. But I like the Stars too. Canucks, they don't really do it for me. In the East, I'm personally rooting for the Rangers pretty heavily. I have a Stanley Cup future on them. They were up 3-0, now 3-2 against the Hurricanes, going to Carolina tomorrow for a big game six. That series is definitely interesting. And then the Bruins took one back last night. That series is now 3-2. I still like the Panthers to close that one out.
Panthers are a wagon again. I mean, playoff Panthers is a thing. Sergei gets hot at the right time. So Panthers are going to take care of business there. New York's going to take care of business in that series. That series is over. I, like you, am rooting for Edmonton, but just with how McDavid's career's gone, I think Vancouver will probably wind up winning. I want it to be Edmonton. I mean, McDavid is as good as it gets in our lifetime. So love to see that. And then, Colorado. Colorado's dead. Too much cocaine.
Yep.
A quite literal avalanche over there.
Yeah.
Well, Colorado's up 3-1, Chad. I wouldn't say they're dead.
They're down 3-1.
They lost a player, but I sure wouldn't say they're dead.
They're down
3-1.
You're right. They're down 3-1.
They're dead. Confirmed dead.
Yeah, they're probably dead.
All right. Let's go baseball into Preakness. This is the midway point of the first half of the season, give or take. So we're a quarter of the way through. Let's get updated World Series picks or just first quarter thoughts more than anything. I'm going to start this one off with Dave.
I think in the AL, it actually looks pretty straightforward. I mean, I think the Orioles and the Yankees are probably a notch above everyone else. I don't really think anyone in the AL Central is a threat. The Twins have been streaking, while the Guardians have just been the best team in that division really start to finish so far, but I don't think either really have the juice to be a serious threat. The big surprise in the AL has been the Astros. They're 17-25 right now. Only six games back in the West, though.
They're getting hot, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
One three straight.
Yeah, they've won three straight. Their pitching's just been horrible. Their lineup is still very dangerous. The sleeper for me, actually, in the AL is still I really like the Mariners. The offense has just been so bad, waiting for that lineup to heat up, like really top to bottom, no one's hitting there. But their pitching is incredible. George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, Luis Castillo, no one can match up with their pitching. So I think if they can maybe add a bat, if those bats just start to heat up, I think the Mariners are a sneaky pick. But, I mean, the prohibitive favorites are the Orioles and Yankees. I am kind of drinking the Oriole juice, to be honest. And I think just with their farm system, they got the ammo to go out and add another frontline starter like they did with Corbin Burns, or add an elite closer or something along those lines. So I just think the Orioles got everything going for them right now. And with their farm system, like, they should be a big-time player at the trade deadline. That'll be my pick out of the AL. I'm going to go NL too. You guys want to go to the AL?
Any other thoughts on the AL?
I like the Orioles a lot. I mean, their offense is fantastic. They got a lot of guys who hit the ball really hard. They're young. They're exciting. I echo everything you said there, Dave. You didn't talk about – see, I view the AL Central as like the frisky division. I think they're the friskiest division in baseball top to bottom. I like the Royals a lot. The Royals are a fun team. They've had their moments this year. They've scored a bunch of runs, and their run differential is actually plus 45. It's one of the better run differentials in baseball. I think Kansas City's going to be a playoff team. And Detroit's young. If they can kind of get streaky and hot, they can be dangerous against anyone in a three-game series. I think that division's a little better than it gets credit for. The Oakland A's started a little surprising, fun start out of them. They're 2-8 in their last 10. Can probably put a fork on Oakland, sad as it is. But not much else on the AL.
Is the Nats juice finally gone, John? They might be coming
the Nats
back
juice. No, the Nats are still hanging around. Their run differentials, we're not in the NL yet. I mean, I guess that's a segue. They're minus 10 run differential, 4-6 in their last 10. They're 20-22. I think the Nats are still very frisky. But I think the A's magic is worn off. I've kind of stopped taking them. I'm also ice cold on baseball. I'm taking a little bit of a hiatus here. Sabbatical.
Who's your pick in the NL, and then I'll give my take.
I was gonna say, I mean the NL, a lot of the teams I feel like we thought were gonna be good, honestly, on both sides are. The Phillies, the Dodgers, they're very good. The Brewers are pacing the Central above the Cubs. The rest of the Central has been pretty poor. I mean, the Pirates, I don't think are really much of a threat to anyone this year. Hopefully Skeens, though, Connor, is just an ace the rest of the way. That'd be nice.
Reds have been one of the more disappointing teams in baseball. Like I thought they had a real chance this year, but just snake-bitten with injuries. They just have had a lot of tough play. Yeah. Well, we got popped from PEDs. That's been disappointing. I thought they would make noise in the Central. Cardinals have been terrible in the Central. NL feels super chalky to me. Like, if it's not one of the Dodgers, the Braves, or the Phillies, I would be absolutely shocked. But weird things happen in the postseason, so we might get another D-backs type of run from someone this year.
Yeah, in the AL, I also want to mention another really disappointing team still been the Blue Jays. They might just not have it.
I mean, four years ago is where the Orioles are at now is where I thought that was the Blue Jays trajectory. And Vlad obviously had that one amazing year and is kind of flatlined. Bichette, you could argue, isn't what people thought he was going to be. And then some of their other prospects like Kevin Biggio fucking sucks. And they're pitching. I mean, Alek Manoah fucking sucks.
Chad.
Just a shit on Toronto segment from us.
Chad, a week ago, we did a segment where you're asking me, and then you said, you know, a team under 500 you think could make a run, make the playoffs still. You said Toronto. It sounds like you're out.
Out now. Confirmed.
Completely out. I said the Reds, and I tell you what, they're 2-8 since then or something like that. They've been terrible too. So we might need to just stop cursing teams at this point.
I'll keep it quick. In the AL, I'll go chalk. I'll take the Yankees. I think they get back to the World Series this year. The NL, I think it's going to be the Brewers. I like what they're doing. They got Freddie Peralta on the staff. They just brought up Robert Gasser, a tempo town legend. And they get Devin Williams back here at some point. I'm not exactly positive on the timeline there, but I think their lineup's been amongst the best in baseball so far. And like Dave said, I think some crazy things happen. We've seen the Dodgers and Braves underperform in the playoffs year after year. So I will go Brewers, Yankees, and I'll take Yankees to win the World Series.
The Brewers are like the Twins of the NL. I mean, they're obviously in the Central too, but I feel like they consistently like win that division or sneak in the wild card. And then like, when was the last time they won a playoff series? Like
probably like Prince Fielder whenever.
Like, I don't even know if they won one then. Like they have a good team every year and they're a smart organization. And I don't know. They have not been able to get over the postseason hump. They have been like surprisingly better than people thought so far after trading Corbin Burns. Yeah. Outside of Peralta, though, the pitching staff's a little bit sketchy, but also they're a very smart pitching organization and have a proven track record of developing guys. So, maybe Robert Gasser is the real deal. They got some other pitchers that could come up. They could make noise. You know, we just haven't seen it from them.
Midway or quarter way, MVP Cy Young's rapid fire. Who do you guys got? Jesus. I can go first if you need a minute.
I need a minute.
All right. NL MVP, Shohei Ohtani. Dude's fucking unbelievable. I mean, 361, 34 runs, 12 homers, 30 RBIs, 9 steals. Doesn't miss a beat. Doesn't matter if he's coming off an injury. Just raking. That offense is stupid. They're 3 of the 5 probably best hitters in the NL on that offense. It's so annoying. Runner-up, honorable mention, Ellie De La Cruz. That's my boy. He's crushing it. And then Cy Young in the NL, I'm going to go with to date, because it's just based on to date. Ranger Suarez for the Phillies has been just absurd. 150 ERA, a 0.72 whip. He's 7-0. We're basing this off of what you've done to date. Ranger Suarez is your NL Cy Young for me.
I will go Ellie De La Cruz is my NL MVP. I think there might be some voter fatigue on Shohei. So I think as long as Ellie's somewhat in the range and the Reds are at least in the playoff hunt, I think he is MVP right now. I will go with Tyler Glass now, NL Cy Young. And this is kind of projecting. I don't think Ranger Suarez is going to keep up this pace the whole year. I do think he's very good, but I don't think he's best pitcher in baseball good.
So we've approached this differently. That's fine, though. That's good. It gives us different names.
I'll give you the quarter season NL MVP so far should be William Contreras. He's been the best hitter on the best team, the NL Central, best hitter by far in that team, literally carrying that offense.
Dude's 352.
350, 30 RBIs, which might be the most in the majors right now, or damn close to it. He's been incredible, and he's carrying that Brewers team. NL Cy Young, between two guys here, Shota Ibanaga has been incredible for the Cubs, and I don't know if that's going to – I mean, it's not going to keep up at this pace, but I think he is the real deal. And then – not to jinx Temple Town member Chris Sale, but he's been a phenomenal pickup for the Braves and has just been lights out for them and
rejuvenated.
Yeah, just if he can just stay healthy, I mean, I think his numbers are going to be there at the end of the year, but health has been a big, big issue for him. So,
yeah,
those would be my
guys. He seems to have injury history is not like arm concerning, though. It's like kind of weird injuries. So, I think he's going to be fine.
Didn't he fall off a bike?
He's got some weird injury history.
He got hit with a comebacker once and had some weird injury.
Yeah,
he said some
like just freaky stuff. And the fact that the stats department's on it, Marcelo Ozuna's 41 RBIs.
So he's easily
Chad,
number one probably.
MVPs, Cy Young's.
MVP, I'm going to go Ohtani based on what we've seen thus far. But folks, if you're looking to get in on betting it, take Acuna. I think that would be a smart thing to do. NL Cy Young, I think Chris Sale. I think it's been, awesome to see this bounce back. And then keep your eye on Zach Wheeler in the NL.
Okay. You want to stick with the AL? Just keep going. Keep it rolling.
Yeah, I can keep going. In the AL, I'm going to go with – he was at one point the leader in homers in baseball. Not sure if that's still the case, but Kyle Tucker. The last 2-3 years now consistently been, one of the 10-15 best hitters in baseball. And, if he can go out and finish with 40 and 110 this year, I think he can win MVP. AL, Cy Young, Tarik Skubal is filthy. I didn't get him in a single fantasy league, and I loved him. But, yeah, he's your AL Cy Young leader right now.
He's been excellent. I'll stick with you on Tarik. He was my pick a couple weeks ago when we did this, Chad. Not going to change it there. He's continued to do what he does. MVP, I got to go Gunnar Henderson. I think those are actually the same two that I picked a few weeks ago. Gunnar continuing to hit well, although not as well as he was during the stretch when I took him. Averaged down to 264, but he's got 12 bombs, 27 ribs, 6 steals, plays, the left side of the infield. He does it all for him. catalyst of the offense, Gunnar Henderson for MVP.
I think those are good picks. Juan Soto has to be mentioned for AL MVP. I think he's got a very, very good chance to do that this year, especially if the Yankees continue their play so far. I want to give a shout out to Josh Naylor as well. I mean, we talked about the Guardians playing really well. He's been their best hitter by far. Been one of the best bats in baseball so far. He's got 12 home runs. Josh Naylor's
shout out
good.
Brent Rooker.
Rooker's been good. Yeah. Cy Young, I think Scooble's the obvious guy in the AL so far. I wouldn't project this guy to keep this up by any means, but Seth Lugo has quietly been one of the best starting pitchers in baseball so far. He's got a sub-2 ERA and a sub-1 whip. 6 wins on a Royals team that I think is like 5 or 6 games above 500. And John mentioned earlier, they're frisky ball club. I think they could be a surprise team. Like, wouldn't shock me if they made noise kind of like the Diamondbacks did last year, sort of come out of nowhere. And I'd be remiss not to mention Mr. Bobby Witt Jr. as well, could easily work his way into AL MVP consideration if he's not there already.
I will go with Juan Soto as my AL MVP and George Kirby as Cy Young.
All right. Preakness winners. We don't have to act like
we're... Mason Miller, Cy Young?
If he gets straight to Baltimore.
He pitches 2 innings in games where they're down 8 runs and strikes out both sides and then comes out.
He has been just incredible. He deserves a shout-out on the baseball segment. Sorry, John. Go back to preaching.
No. 18 innings pitched, 38 Ks, 5 walks.
Unbelievable.
0.98 ERA, 0.65 whip.
He's electric, man. It's a shame he can't stretch it to be a starter, but that his arm might explode on television.
He's better off in closer role, I think.
I guess we'll see if Skeens works. Skeens is the starting version of him. I mean, they're pretty comparable. Preakness. This can be our last call. We don't have to act super informed here. I just don't ever win these. Like, I want to act like I do. I always come close, like excruciatingly close, and it's just like second and third and exact. It's just like at the Kentucky Derby a few weeks back. It's just excruciating every time.
I had just a touch in the Derby, the one that lost on the photo finish, so that was tough.
Yeah, it's second and third.
I think imagination is the play. The other Baffert horse that wasn't scratched. I think he's right around 6-1, so I think he's the second best odds, tied for second best odds.
Mystic Baffert Dan the best odds, the Derby winner. Running out of plus 4, 5-2.
Yeah, I don't think you fade Baffert here. He's due. But I will also be betting on Uncle Heavy.
Chad, you just stole my bit, man.
So Preakness just an 8-horse race?
It is because the favorite Muth got scratched. So
yeah, give me Uncle Heavy. I don't know anything about this race, but in terms of name value, Uncle Heavy's got a chance. Great name. 20-1, longest odds. Let's ride.
I'll go with Catching Freedom at 6-1. Just on a whim. Okay. I don't know anything about the horse.
Catching Freedom is a good one. Catching Freedom was in the Derby, finished 4th. I like to – I'm going to give you an exact box pick for myself. Let's see. We're going to go with Mystic Dan. So Mystic Dan won the Derby, right? Yeah, Mystic Dan won the Derby. I don't think that Mystic Dan is going to win the Preakness. Give me Seize the Gray at 15-1. That is my long shot. And then I like Tuscan Gold 8-1. That's the 8 horse. I really like Tuscan Gold here. Something about the name feels right. Tyler Gaffalione. That sounds right. Tyler Gaffalione's on the steed. Tuscan Gold's winning this thing.
Listen, I'd be happy if Uncle Heavy won it. That's a cool name.
I mean, let's go.
That was Dave's nickname in high school.
It was, dude.
Yeah, Uncle Heavy. People forget.
Every interception, that's what they screamed from the student section.
Yeah. Heavy, all three interceptions. Heavy.
All right. Anybody got anything before we get out of here?
No.
No. It's just whenever you think that the sports are going to run out, they never do. There's just plenty going on all the time.
It's getting warm in Boston now, too. Summer feels right around the corner. Get outside. Yeah. Take it in.
Golf. Play a couple rounds yourself.
Yeah. Golf.
Maybe ride a horse or two. Responsibly. Yep. Sober. Yep. I'm like Chad that one summer. And that's what we'll lead on, folks. Chad on a horse drunk. Sailing off into the sunset.
Picture it, folks.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening. Production by AJ Bradbury.